Hi there, Satnam. Welcome. Today is full moon eclipse day. And we're going to continue to talk about this dynamic energy. And why are we talking about this dynamic energy, Andrea? Let's talk about why it's important to us.
Well, we put up our last episode and I've gotten some feedback. People are just really loving the conversation. So my feeling is, let's just keep talking about it and kind of coaching each other through this. Because, I mean, it's one thing, I think, to just kind of talk about it and proselytize and be like, well, this means this. And it's like, all right, well, but what does it mean to live it? What does it mean to be practical with it? What does it mean to, it's like, okay, great, all this stuff's happening and I have to go do this very 3D thing, or my body is doing this thing, or I'm feeling up, I'm feeling down. I had really weird dreams last night and this is Monday morning and the eclipse happened last night. It began around 10 PM Pacific. Yeah. So I had a really strange dream about, and I won't get into dreams because talking about dreams is just sort of boring. Eventually it's sort of like, and then a dinosaur was chasing me and it's like, great. Okay. But I had a dream about like this movie that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. That movie Carrie.
Yes.
Yeah. My cousin like kind of tricked me into watching it when I was 5. And it's like, it really traumatized me. Like, I had a dream that the book Carrie by Stephen King was like kicking around and I was sort of looking at it and I'm like, do I look at it? Do I open it? Do I read it? No, this is you. And I woke up a little like, just a little creaky, like, ooh, what was that? And the story I'm telling myself, because that's really what we're talking about, is like, what's the story you're going to tell yourself about any of your experiences? Like, what is the story you want this eclipse to be? Like, what is the story? Like, I'm like, okay, wow. Well, I feel like I probably trudged up some old childhood memory that scared me. And in the dream, actually, I'm going to give myself credit because I made the decision not to open the book. It's like, no, we don't have to do that. We don't have to poke at the horror and like, you know, get that reaction. Like there's no need. Like we're today years old. We worked through that. Yay.
I love that you found autonomous choice in the midst of the dream, that you redirected the energy and you were like, no, that story is not going to help me and I'm going to pick something better.
Well, and that's like, you know, that's the thing I've been talking about a lot. I mean, that's the whole lucid dreaming practice is, you know, when you're sleeping and you're, you know, sometimes the dream is great and you're like, this is too good to be true. And it's like, that's because it is. And you're like, oh, this is a dream. Yeah. Like, you know, oh, we're signing you a contract for 10 years of Days of Our Lives. And it's like, I did it. And actually now I look back and I'm like, well, I'm glad that didn't happen. I don't think I would want 10 years on anything. But, you know, and then bad things. Like I was having a really, really weird dream once. And I called bullshit on it. I was like, this is, and I woke myself up. And that's, of course, a tool that we use in our waking life. Because as we know, much of our waking life, much of our conscious daily, my eyes are open, but where's my mind? We oftentimes get caught in these loops and these trances and these old patterns, and we've lost the wheel. And it's very easy to go down these little rabbit holes and not even notice that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so one great tool we get to use as yogic practitioners, as Aquarian thought leaders, and we are all Aquarian thought leaders, is having that that snap yourself awake moment, to have the wherewithal to do that, to step out and be like, whoa, where's this going? No. Cut.
All right. Well, it's important. And I like, again, that you're offering this chance to, whether it's in the wakeful state or the dream state, to really be able to take control and to move the energy in the direction and the path that you want to move it. And I think that one of the things that is really important for this eclipse and certainly in general is really this understanding of, you know, what do I want? What am I about? What it feels good to me? Where am I fully myself? Where am I fully present? And understanding that information really can give us so much strength and guidance throughout our lifetime, certainly, yeah. And in every small measure of every, you know, of every moment. And eclipses truly do give us this sort of hop, skip, and a jump, right? Mm. They're revelations. There's a revealment here. And you and I talked a little bit last time too about this sort of idea that, you know, the moon in a full moon eclipse, lunar eclipse, as we had last night, the moon disappears. Yeah. And in a solar eclipse, the sun disappears. So what happens in that fraction of time when, you know, these giant luminaries, you know, the energies that light up our sky that literally give us life and breath and, you know, the waters, you know, the moon cycles affect the waters in, you know, literally like the oceans and the tides and things like this, and the water in our body, the energy in our body and how we move and light up throughout the day, right? The energy systems that flow and ebb. And I think particularly with women, and we know this in the yogic tradition, Kundalini yoga tradition, we have the idea of the 11 moon centers throughout the body, that the energy shifts every 2.5 days throughout these moon centers. So again, we're very, very tied to the moon. We're tied to the water frequency. And then the sun is the bringer of life. The sun is the light that, you know, our purpose. It's the Klieg light, I call it sometimes. It's like, it's the spotlight, right? It's like you on the red carpet. And to have those two planets disappear for just whatever amount of time it is, what is getting lost, what is getting left behind, and what is gaining, what is coming in. And so to really tune into that is very, very important. And really all I can offer to everyone listening and certainly ourselves is pay attention. What is happening in your life? The mundane in some ways might be the key. Right. I heard from somebody yesterday that was like, I got invited to teach in person at this location that was unexpected. And it was a moment where she was being honored as an authority. She was being honored as a teacher. She was being honored as a person. Like, we think you have value. We recognize your value and we want you to share your value with our community. And
yeah,
so it's, you don't know. And that again was just be one thing where it's like, yeah, whatever, you know, I was invited to teach, blah, 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 blah. Right. But no. This is when we have to stop and we have to honor that in ourselves and recognize this is a new chance. This is a beginning again.
I think like one, I mean, I have a few thoughts, but like, you know, notice everything and don't attach to anything, you know, like that to me is that's something I'm working with, is notice everything, attach to nothing, and, you know, take nothing for granted even, especially like, I mean, even for me this morning, I was messaging you and our modem, we had to reboot our modem. Like our internet was being really cranky. It's still being really cranky. It's one of the joys of Sedona, I'm discovering. And you know, we were having these issues and then I was like, so we rebooted the modem and I was like, oh, that's exactly what an eclipse is. We're rebooting. Okay. Welcome to Andrea's experience in Sedona with who knows what sort of interference is getting in the way of our podcasting. But Joanna, you did clear your cache, your cache.
I call it cache. You call it cache, which I've never heard.
Okay. I okay. Ian says Keish. I mean, maybe it's just an Ianism. So, okay. So you were talking about the moon the water, and I had been thinking actually over the weekend, what a great opportunity to play some Narayan Shabad and listen to Narayan. And because I've been really leaning into this release aspect of the eclipse, you know, all of my thought leaders that I've been leaning into, I mean, you, Remington, Michael Lennox, it's all this release from the last 6 months. And honoring cycles, the Gene Keys talks about 7-year cycles. I'm about to come up on a 7-year cycle on my birthday in July. So, you know, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm on this boat and I'm just kind of watching, I'm watching it all go by, you know, chanting Narayan. But like, I've been really embodying that. I mean, even with the business. And by the way, everybody, if you want to get a crystal, now's a great time because Andrea's in release mode. And you know, there's this money person that I listen to every now and then. And one of her mantras is more money than I know what to do with. Like that's her objective, is to have more money than she knows what to do with. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I have more crystals than I know what to do with. But actually I do know what to do with them. So help me out, everybody. You know, my old energy is your new energy, where it's all about recycling. But then also when you basically blew my mind on the last podcast about this being I don't want to call it an artificial new moon, but a sort of a cosmic new moon. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A phenomenal new moon. Yeah. You know, I don't want to stick to anything. I don't want to attach to anything. I don't want to necessarily plant anything because everything's up in the air for the next 2 weeks. So this is just how I've been interpreting, and this is the sort of story I've been telling myself about, okay, what is this eclipse to me? How do I use it? Okay, well, I have a full moon, so I have a chance to reboot. So it's a huge opportunity to release old things, old beliefs, old items, crystals, inventory, release, cool, make room for this new moon in 2 weeks, this reboot that I have another opportunity to reboot once again. So my sort of vision of it all is like, literally, I feel like I'm launched into the void right now, where I've sort of stepped into this wild, wild, you know, realm, if you will, of all possibility, of all potentiality, a little bit of chaos. And I think this is available to all of us. And we're just getting, like, at all times, we're just being given this astrological extra dose of opportunity, if that makes any sense.
Yes. And the thing too to remember is eclipse season happens twice a year. Mm-hmm. They come in pairs, sometimes threes. We had 6 eclipses back in 2020, right? It was like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. But this year there's only 4, thankfully. So, but this opportunity, that reboot, that reset, that void space to allow to bring in the new and let go of the old. Again, it's going to come again in the fall. And we had it 6 months ago as well. And I think too, it's like, if we're working with the cycles of the earth and the cycles of the cosmic field and the frequencies and the energies, the more attuned we are to it, these become more important and more of an opportunity for us to really sink deep into it, as you are doing and really, I think, are modeling for others.
Yeah. And it's like what I was saying earlier, you know, notice everything, attach to nothing, and allow this to be like just 2 weeks of getting clarity of, you know, where do I want to go with it? And rather than getting caught up in all of the phenomena, you know, I'd messaged you. I was like, well, I'm just going to program and charge the energy then. I'm going to keep my center. I'm going to make sure I'm diligent with my practice. I'm going to make sure I'm diligent with chanting, safeguarding my thoughts. Like, honestly, it feels like a really intense, like a 2-week intensive. It's like, this is my 2-week intensive.
Yeah, no, I love this. And also, as a point of reference as well, so the South Node is in Libra, and that's the point of release in this archetype of, you know, with the North Node in Aries and the South Node in Libra. The North Node is where we're moving forward. We're moving into that next phase where there might be more of an allowing, an allowance, a really like an awareness. And then the South Node is that release. And both of us happen to have Libra in the sixth house. And the sixth house is the house of daily routines and habit mm-hmm. and organizations. And so just to sort of presence the thing of the routine gets disrupted mm-hmm. and the story attached to that now is gets let go, right? Yeah. The story attached to like, oh shit, I had planned to do this meeting, that meeting, the other, and I now have 2 hours without internet. I have to come up with something else to do. Instead of having that go into a tailspin, there's yeah. a reframe, right? Okay, well, yeah. let me throw all of this up into the air and see what shows up. And it's like, we got on the phone and we're going to start, and I started blathering and you're like, no, I have to go photograph. The sun's out. What's happening? And I thought, absolutely. Okay. Right. So again, there's an allowance on that end as well to shift mm-hmm. and to allow that void in some ways to take over and to move through something else. And it's interesting as well that, you know, we don't talk so much about this, but Libra is an air sign. And I think we did touch on it. And so it's like previously, I mean, and Libra in air is there's an intellectual data orientation around this where mm-hmm. obviously it requires that's the relay, right? It requires mm-hmm. somebody else to mirror back to us, you know, what we're thinking, what we believe, what we're putting out into the world, how we're organizing our thought streams, mm-hmm. how we're using our voice, very important. And, you know, there's something here again around those projections. So to open yourself up to the disruption and be okay with it is extremely helpful.
And also like kind of enjoying the new direction. I mean, it turned out we just had to reboot our modem, but like, you know, it's like that snow day feeling, like the lights are out, like, ooh, how long am I in this void? And, you know, I cleaned the bathroom and I actually, guess what? I actually finished the Gene Keys. And by that, I mean, my eyeballs gazed over the final page of the companion book, and they also gazed on the final sentences of the last sphere in my profile. And I was like, well, I finished. that was 6 weeks. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I remember when we were kids and the lights would go out and like, you know, we were big Little House on the Prairie fans, so we would get real excited about lighting candles and one of those hurricane lamps and walking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think it's always an opportunity to be like, all right, well, pivot. I mean, we sure did it in the pandemic. It's like, oh, okay. And I think that's another really lovely reminder for all of us is we're very agile. We're very adept. We always have what we need in any given moment. Mm-hmm. We always do. The other thing about Libra that was coming up for me is something Isabel Hickey was one of my – she's one of my little – astrologer guides, the pioneering female astrologer from the turn of the century, last century. But one of her proteges I was really able to sit down with and talk to. And she reminded me about Libra, that Libra is peace at any price. So Libra is actually the activist. I mean, we all think of Mars as being the warrior, and yes, and peace at any price, balance at any price. I mean, it can be a real shadow of Libra where they get super, you know, what hill are you going to die on here? But I mean, we saw this happen back in October when the war broke out in Gaza, and that came up for me. I was like, oh dang! And I mean, we're seeing lots of activism on both sides in the last 6 months. So I sure would love to see a peace treaty come in the next couple of weeks. That's something I'm holding on to. I'm watching that possibility go by as I float my boat in the void here. My little spaceship.
I'm going to take a tangential detour with that in mind. So, peace, Libra, the scales, balance, justice, right? Very important. Harmony, negotiating, right? Really seeing both sides and learning not to project, right? It's like The data comes in, you speak your mind. And if you don't hear the response you want, sometimes you'll project right back on that other person and vice versa. And you're in some kind of stalemate. There is no harmony. There is no justice, no peace. Another planet in astrology that can represent justice is Jupiter.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
So we're gonna move over to this other aspect that's in process of forming, and it's getting stronger and stronger every day. And this is a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. It happens about every 13 years. And this year it is happening in Taurus on April 20th, which is, again, just under a month away. So Jupiter is moving pretty quickly through Taurus. Uranus is the slower moving planet. And Jupiter is about wisdom and knowledge and expansion, good fortune, luck, money, prosperity, and a little bit of that justice and peace. Mm. In mundane astrology, Jupiter represents the Senate, senators, and it's about international relations and international treaties. And there's a lot of there's a vastness to Jupiter. So just imagine, you know, these sort of like global initiatives and the beliefs of large groups of people. Religion, philosophy falls under that Jupiter energy representing the sign of Sagittarius. But, you know, there's obviously religion is certainly at the heart of part of that conflict, and land is another, right? But there's ideology attached to it. And I think there is a desire for peace. And it's like this, people are coming up with, you know, treaties and interim solutions and things like that. And yet the two sides are not quite there yet. But the people, right, in Pluto and Aquarius, the people are getting their voices heard. Now, that's Jupiter. Uranus, which rules the planet that rules Aquarius, the modern planet that rules Aquarius, right, of the people. Mm-hmm. Uranus is all about rebellion and independence and revolution and change and quick, fast change. Mm-hmm. Uranus also rules the higher mind, higher states of consciousness. So as we've been talking as a community, right, we're coming into a higher level of awareness. We're all kind of ascending into a new level, a new frequency, a new level of consciousness and thought patterns. And our intuition is really striking very strongly. Mm-hmm. Our dreams are more active. We're paying attention to signs. We're paying attention to messages that come in either from, the universe. Mm-hmm. It could be literally a voice that you're hearing, or it could just be somebody that you kind of walk up to that says the right thing at the right time that makes you actually think differently to change. Uranus wants to break free. Mm-hmm. And Jupiter is looking for that, you know, larger piece of the pie. And we're in this real dynamic change, and it's happening. This is a global, you know, transit for everyone. It's not just one person that's going to experience it. If you have planets in your natal chart, anywhere from like 19 to 22, 23 degrees Taurus or any of the fixed signs, you might be feeling this more intensely than others. So that would be Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. Do you have any planets at those degrees?
20 degrees.
21, 22.
No, that's well, my Cancer Sun and Saturn and my Aries rising and Jupiter conjunct. So my cardinal signs are there, but they tend to sextile, right? They have a nice relationship sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, the fixed signs are going to get the hard angle. So it'll either be a conjunction or a square or an opposition. But if you have planets at those degrees in mutable signs or in cardinal signs, as you said, it'll be a different type of aspect. It might be more welcoming or flowing, or might be an adjustment energy. I have a little bit of that in my chart, but pay attention, right? This is also, it's like, where do you want to grow and mm-hmm. where do you want to break free? Those two questions are kind of coming in for all of us. And again, I'm fascinated. I've been having so many conversations with people around business and work and really taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction can give a little bit of, be part of the story of that shift in frequency, just like these eclipses are, right? Of like moving into that forward nature of our, of the Aries energy of pioneering and taking initiative and moving forward and actually really identifying what you want, what's important to you. Because if we don't know what we want and where we're going,
yeah,
you were never going to get there. The universe has no direction to point us towards. It's just, everything will be bigger, but it won't necessarily be productive.
Yeah. And it goes back to how I'm treating the next 2 weeks, which is, you know, okay, so if I am in a void, if I am in a wormhole, then it's, you know, we've got 2 weeks here, and how do I want to land? Where do I want to, what reality, what timeline do I want to step out onto? And I don't, you know, we don't have to be specific about these things, but again, how do you want to feel? I want to feel good. I want to feel assured. I want to feel confident and optimistic and excited and joyful and grateful and all of these things. And I think that's like where the Jupiter energy coming onto Uranus, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. That's exciting. It's nice to think that the benefic, benevolent, confident, optimistic, great expander, Jupiter expands everything, much like a full moon. Yeah. You know, what do I want to have a bigger experience of? The fact that he's going to go take a meeting with Uranus, who is the great rebel changer, and like whispers in his ear, hey man, let's make this good. Like, let's make this better than anyone could have ever expected. What do you think? And Uranus is like, yeah, man, I'm down. Like, you know, Michael Lennox always talks about Uranus. He's like, Uranus doesn't care if you win the lottery or burn your house down. Uranus is going to, you know, insist that you change, insist that there's a pivot. It's going to, you know, that's why I love taking labradorite and using that as a Uranus cure, as a Uranus prop, let's say, because labradorite has this flash to it. And I always think of that lightning flash with Uranus, like the idea that comes to you. It's like, that's why when we meditate those first 3 minutes, it's so pivotal that you get through those first 3 minutes, because then you've got past the subconscious that's trying to stop you from changing. Mm-hmm. And you actually have a receiving end to get some of those insights. I mean, who hasn't had an idea come to them after they've been standing in the shower for a couple minutes, or just gone and taken a walk, or, you know, go into your addiction meditation or whatever breath of fire you're doing, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's always like Uranus is always, he's always there. And, you know, just to kind of finish the weird spiderwebby metaphor I'm spinning here, you know, it's sort of like, you know, Uranus, it's a lightning flash. It can be very startling. And like when lightning flashes, everything is illuminated and you see everything and it's like a photograph, and then boom, it's dark again. It's kind of like when, you know, if you're resisting this, it's going to be an unpleasant experience. You know, the person in the bedroom with the shades down under the blanket, you know, you walk in and turn the light on and fling, it's like, it's very jarring. It's not fun. It's not a fun way to wake up. So set your own alarms, like decide that you're going to, you know, I'm going to give myself this time of day. I'm going to give myself a few minutes at least to just pause, shut the fuck up, Andrea, and see, you know, Is there maybe a better thought trying to make its way into my head right now?
Is there?
Always. Always.
There's always a better thought available. I mean, this really, it's interesting. So this aspect is forming as we're talking about it. It's forming in these eclipse charts. It's forming in that equinox chart. So that blueprint is already set. Energetically, we're in that mode. So again, more chances, more opportunities, more moments to pay attention. What is calling for the change? What is calling you to say the old way is not the way anymore? Yeah. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I love, I learned from that. Do you get that newsletter, Thoughts Become Things? Tut, that guy? Tut.
Who is it?
I can't remember his name. But it's a daily newsletter that goes out. And it's just, you know, like positive thought of the day. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing, and I think, again, you've probably heard this many times in the manifestation sort of canon, which is put the intention out there, but don't tell the universe how it's supposed to happen. The hows are up to the universe, and the what and the why is up to you. And this is very much that sort of prime energy around this Jupiter Uranus. If you are tied to a particular outcome or a particular way that the thing is going to come about, you really just let that story go, because that's not going to help you. And it'll probably keep you stuck in the thing that you don't want, in the pattern that you're trying to move away from. And it's certainly not, it's expanding that negative thought form, whatever it is, like holding on to something so tight for, you know, the reasons of generally because of safety and fear. And I have to control the piece, right? Or whatever the thing is, the relationship, the job, you know, the income, you know, and you and I have talked a lot about this. Money can come from anywhere. Money is not, there's not one way to earn money. There's not one way to receive money. There's not one way to give money.
Yeah.
There's now too, with, you know, all of these platforms, it's like there's Venmo and, you know, PayPal and wire transfers and cash and, you know, gold and jewelry. And it's like, there's a million ways, right? Somebody can actually write you a check. Yeah. That is still legal.
I still have a checkbook. I mean,
we were having a family conversation about the younger generation. My mom wanted to know if the younger generation in our family understood and knew how to balance a checkbook. And I looked at her and I was like, nobody has a checkbook. And she goes, but they still need to know what that means. And which is true, but I think there must be a new language around this. Balance your bank account.
Check your balance.
Check your balance. I don't know. I'm like, there's an app for that. We don't have to do it anymore.
Well, and that, again, but that's also like what we're talking about too. It's like being in this void, being in this pure potentiality at all times. We just happen to be getting more, it's sort of like, you know, the universe is having office hours right now. It's like you can always hop into the void via meditation or whatever it is. And we're getting an extra, you know, we have extra bandwidth now where it's like open enrollment, right? It's like, you know, you can always apply, but, you know, it's not always open necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I really am watch guarding myself on the thoughts and feelings and just not taking any chances, really, like programming water, like what we were talking about earlier. It's like literally programming my environment, my thoughts, because how I feel is it's the only way for something to show up, good or bad. If I'm feeling bad, quote unquote, bad's gonna keep perpetuating, or at least boredom and dullness and same old, same old. you know, what you're saying with money is, yeah, absolutely. And you have, we have to be in a place of abundance. We really do. Like, no matter where we are, these are just fundamental rules of cause and effect, law of attraction. So I say to anybody, like, right now, like, whatever it takes for you to feel good for the next couple weeks, whatever it takes, you know better than I do. I know what tricks I pull out. And so I'm not messing around with it. It's like, just why not? It's 2 weeks. If at the end of it all, like, you know, it's, I look back and I'm like, well, that sucked. You know what? It's so not true. I mean, I'll share. Like, I've been working on my writing and just sort of, you know, muddling around and sort of poking around this weird new room in myself that I'm exploring. And my sister works for, she's, I don't even know what to call them. They're kind of like book whisperers. They offer guidance and coaching with editing and proofreading and everything, book agents, deals, that kind of thing. And her boss is actually passing through Sedona last night. She texted out of the blue. My sister's like, hey, guess who's in town? Do you guys want to see each other? And I'm like, yeah, I do want to meet Mary. Like, absolutely. Wow. And it's like, it has nothing. I have no attachment. I don't know how anything's going to work out for me. And it's like, oh, my sister's boss, who happens to be in this industry that I'm, you know, smelling out here. And actually, I've referred a lot of people to them that are people that are more focused and along their journey in writing than I am right now. Like, there are people that are like way, way in it. Like, they have a manuscript. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, and I'll see them. I actually don't know what they can do, but you should probably just like reach out to them and see, like, just, I don't know, say, you know me. But that's, you know, I like to network people and.
Okay. I want to make sure that you write this down, because talk about eclipse, surprises, and opportunities. This would go top of my list for you. Number one, for sure. Like, a surprise visit from a person in an industry that you're interested in about language. Yes.
And by the way, like, she's coming to my house. Like, it's not even like we were trying to meet up last night, and she's got her kids and dogs, and like, so I was like, well, if you're coming, as you're heading down 179, we're right off the exit there. And so, you know, stop by. And she likes crystals, so I'll show her around. But this is the other thing too. And this is what's so funny. And this is also why I think it's so important that you and I, of course, we're friends, we have conversations, and everyone out there, have friends, have conversations, because oftentimes, like, what is so obvious to the other person, and we were joking about this on we have a little group meditation on Sunday nights. We're all laughing about Joanna, like, coming in and like fixing everyone's lives and organizing everyone's lives, and how much easier it is to just, you know, look at someone else's scene or whatever and be like, oh, well, you know, this and that, because you just have a different objective viewpoint of it. It's like, when Ian, his mother passed away, they, you know, had all this just whole house full of stuff. And this was years and years ago, his girlfriend at the time, and I mean years and years ago, her mother came in and just, you know, had the clipboard and just went at it. And it's because she had no attachment. She had no story behind things. There was nothing in the way of her clarity of organizing everything and pointing out the things that were very obvious to her. And the same thing with us. You're like, dude, look, dude, what of course. And, you know, here I am with my head up my ass, because that's like, how we are.
This is the first I've heard of this, by the way. I mean, talk about burying the lead. I mean, like, yeah, I had this situation, as with someone a couple weeks ago. It was the same thing. And she's going on, she's like, I'm having all these issues with friendships. And I was like, oh, this is right up this is all about the eclipses. I'm like, bring it on. What do you got here? I think relationships are shifting and changing. And she's telling me these stories of this woman that came to her house and they were having a dinner party or something like this. And I don't know, she was going to bring food and then she was going to bring drinks. And then she was like, I'm not going to bring anything. And apparently the person came and like drank all of her tequila. Like she had alcohol and she drank all the tequila. And it was like, oh, I'll bring you another bottle. And she brought some like terrible, you know, like some cheap bottle. And it certainly wasn't the quality. And then she's telling me this other story and similar thing where it's like someone came, she bought a new bottle of tequila, of course. Someone came and like took the bottle like out of her house. And she's like, what kind of friends are these? And they're just taking advantage of me and they're coming and they're eating my food and da 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 da. And like, I don't feel good at all. And like, what do you think this is about? And I was like, I think you shouldn't be drinking tequila. And she goes, she was like, I never thought of it. Oh my God, you're so brilliant. I didn't even consider it. And I was like, you just told me three stories of people taking alcohol out of your home. Like, you're not meant to be drinking the tequila, you know? And it was so funny because 3 days later, she was like, I'm still thinking about this. And you're right.
So like our dog, he's very mischievous and playful. So we say, right? So I take him out for a pee in the morning. I'm up before Ian. And so then we go and we wake Ian up. And the first thing he does is the dog looks for Ian's earplugs because we sleep with earplugs. It's a whole, don't worry about it, everybody. And he steals an ear. He goes for the earplug to try to eat it. And they actually even look like those old, those peanut candies. Did you have those? Oh yeah. Like those marshmallow. Yeah. So anytime he's in a new environment, the dog, we notice that he runs in and like snatches something. And we're like, wait a minute, he's a bandit. Like, this isn't like play. He's like looking to steal shit. That's what he's doing. Like, and now that we have reframed our observation of the dog, we're like, we should maybe look into the resource guarding and, you know, that kind of thing. But like, no, our dog's a thief. That's what we've got.
Yeah. Sometimes the obvious solution is the obvious answer.
Well, and because like when you were telling that story about your friend with the tequila, though, I was like, whoa, get some new friends. They're stealing your shit. And you're like, well, also don't drink tequila. And I'm like, well, because maybe that's something like we can all use too. It's like, okay, what's happening here? Like, what if we were actually, now get this, what if we were actually trained journalists to not have an opinion, to not have all these extra descriptions of something and just say plainly, report back what's happening. Like, well, what happened today? Well, the modem went out, so we had to reboot the computer. And then in that time, I cleaned the bathroom. Well, my sister's book whisperer friend is passing through town and wants to see me. And that was out of the blue. You know, what else? Oh, well, we need more groceries of whatever. Like, what if you just listed the things that happened in the day? And don't miss anything. Like what you're talking about. Notice everything. And maybe even play the game. Like, well, if I'm a really negative thinking person, what would I think? Oh, this person's like busting in on me and like, you know, disrupting my day and imposing herself and wants to look at crystals. Like, how dare she? Like, ugh, I have to go do this thing now. Or, oh, wow, this person I've never met really wants to meet me and might actually be a useful, you know, relationship later on. And if anything, maybe she'll buy a crystal. Who knows, right? But, you know, it's like, what if we played that game with ourselves of like, all right, so positive, negative, like, and then pick the story that gives you the most energy, the most optimism, the most excitement, the most, ooh, this is developing plotline, isn't it?
I want to offer this exactly what you're saying and reiterate and invigorate, hopefully, as well. So there is a director, famous director, who is now passed, named Blake Edwards. And he was, I'm gonna offer a Hollywood story. He was married for many decades to Julie Andrews. And they made several movies together. And Blake Edwards directed the Pink Panther movies in the 1960s. And he directed one of my favorite movies, 10, with Dudley Moore and Bo Derek, which is, if you, I mean, it's certainly very dated and kind of there's some, it's got some problems from the, for the modern audience, but it's very interesting sort of like exegesis about middle age and changing, you know, like your, when your life, you know, when your life is kind of flashing before your eyes and you're trying to find meaning of what is this all about? And the thing that I thought I wanted actually isn't the thing that I want. But in some of a lot of, there's a lot of physical comedy in Blake Edwards movies. Yeah. And he spoke about this and he spoke about this to me because I had dinner with him when I, when I left a job that I didn't like. And he said to me, what are you going to do now? What's next? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, you have to pay attention to these things. You have to follow the plot line here. You have to follow the story threads. Who's showing up? What's the next thing? And it's like you watch his comedy, and if you go back and watch any of those movies, it's like one pratfall after another pratfall. And there's a whole sequence of event. Like in 10, there's sequence where Dudley Moore basically he follows this woman who's a gorgeous woman who's on her way to the church to get married. And so he like literally goes inside the church to see, to find her and do whatever. And then he gets stung by a bee. And then he like knocks over this plant and he makes all this noise and they're all watching him. And he like gets his clothes caught in the door. And it's this whole thing, right? It's like one, two, three, four, like boom, 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 boom. But that's life, right? And these are the threads of these experiences that we have. And to your point, it's like, it might be that, you know, this woman that has a relationship with your sister comes to the house and you have a nice conversation and you look at the crystals and you talk about the writing that you're doing and you talk about the book that you want to write and you're talking about the thing and her kid wants the this and the da 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 and the dog and the whatever. And it's like all of these things create a brand new narrative. Mm-hmm. And all of that is new energy that exists already on some timeline. Mm-hmm. And are we going to follow through or are we just going to sit back and watch it happen or let it go? And I think that's where we're the engagement of the expression and the experience of our of moment to moment becomes very, very important to stay centered, to stay focused, to stay in your own integrity, to stay, you know, being you instead of some false belief or some, you know, fake persona that might be like, oh, you know, quote unquote, and you know, the sister has to behave this way, or like the Sedona crystal dealer, you know, speaks in this, you know, these words or this framing or whatever. And it's no, it's you and you, and that's magnetic.
Yeah,
and that will take you from one moment to the next moment. We watch, you know, again, watch it.
Yeah, and I'm not attaching to any kind of outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in LA when I was acting, it was always like, oh, will this person get me a job? Or, oh, maybe this will get, to, maybe I'll get, you know, it's so linear. And as we continue on our journey and remember, this is a spiral. This is not point A to point B. It's like, it's the crooked path, you know, but like, it doesn't mean anything other than I am continuing to follow through and find the next beat in the scene. And, you know, sometimes I go all the way out to the mine in England and see where they've mined them and dug out the crystals. That's what started upon stumbling into a little warehouse in Tucson. 2 months later, I'm in the mine. Now, is that the end of the chapter? I mean, yes and no. I still sell the crystals. I might go back. I might meet someone. I mean, the more I think the more we say yes, the more we accept the invitations, the more we listen to the little teeny nudges that come to us after the 3 minutes in the shower or whatever it is. I don't know. Let's try that. Let's try that. It's as Dumbledore said, it's the choices we make, Harry. It's,
you know, it's like, I always going to say, this is the rule of improv. Yes. And
yes.
And it's like, you accept the challenge that's faced, that comes your way. Yes. And then the next thing.
And. Yes. And I don't know. I also think it just make yourself laugh. Like it's Blake Edwards is a master of comedy. Like we really are comedians but we have to laugh at ourselves first, really.
Yeah. And what else did we learn from our dear Guru Jagat? Impress yourself.
Yes.
Impress yourself every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
If you don't do it, who the fuck will?
Well, and also, like, you know, who are we performing for anyways? I mean, we're, as we've said before, we're the screenwriter, director, producer, and we're the audience member. I mean, I want to watch a good movie. So that's why I'm going to be like, well, it's one thing to sit around and deal myself another angel card, or it's, which is fine, you know, sometimes doing rainy day activities. Or, you know, book a ticket somewhere or take that class, whatever.
I wanted to say too, thank you for bringing that up. You just sort of reminded me of something as well, sort of back to this, you know, the eclipse thing or whatever. It doesn't need to be tied to that sort of energy, but along these lines of doing the things that, you know, we want to do and what does it look like to impress ourselves. And sometimes that does require letting go of a story or a belief or, you know, a voice in your head or a circumstance that's holding you back from doing the thing. Like mm-hmm. what, you know, it doesn't have to be giant. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to cost a ton of money, you know, like to travel or something like this. I mean, I was just saying like, take a bus somewhere, get on a bus, get on a, you know, if you're in a place that there are trains that travel frequently, get on a train and just go spend the day somewhere else. I mean, when I was in high school, my friends and I, we often found ourselves slightly bored. What are we going to do? And sometimes we used to play this game. We'd get in the car and whoever was in the back seat or whatever would just be like, turn left, turn right, go straight. And we'd end up somewhere very, very random that was not planned. It might not always have been the most exciting thing, but it was something different. It was some kind of adventure. And that cost us, you know, a tank of gas or a couple of gallons of gas, which now is quite expensive. But at the same time, you know, again, surprise yourself, give yourself permission to take 2 hours and, you know, take the bus downtown or take the bus to the beach or take the bus to the mountains or do something that is out of the norm. And you're going to surprise yourself.
Well, and you're also practicing. You're able to get into a space where you're used to surprises. So when this Uranus-Jupiter conjunction happens, you know, it's like, we can constantly be surprised. We can constantly be impressed. You know, this whole compliment, don't complain thing that Remington's doing. I made a joke on the Facebook page. I was like, well, I was doing great until the fucking weather got cold again. So now I'm like walking around complimenting the weather. Like yesterday we had all this hail and I'm like, well done, hail. Wow. Look at you. You are killing it. Wow. Oh, again, you're going to keep, wow. You've got a lot of hail in you.
How did you feel? Like, did you feel better? Were you like forced yourself into a good mood?
I cracked myself up. Yeah. I made myself laugh. I'm like, listen, it's also kind of like, you know, I almost expect the hail to be like, well, what are you doing today? Like, ooh, Andrea, you bought groceries. Wow, look at you. Way to, I mean, it can get a little self-annihilating that way though too, where it's like, then I don't feel like I've done anything worthwhile. Like nothing compares to hail coming down out of the sky. But yeah, I mean, it's all bullshit, right? Our complaints are mostly bullshit.
I was reading something now. I can't remember what it was, but it was like every negative belief is actually a lie. Mm. And I thought that was a very interesting take too, where it's because, you know, we are fractals of God source energy. Our soul is a little bit of energy that, you know, is moving through time and space in this, you know, 3D vehicle we call skin and bones, and, you know, a voice box and a brain and a nervous system and a digestive system, et cetera, et cetera. But what we tell ourselves, the beliefs around safety and security and do this, don't do that, you know, wear this, don't wear that, good girls behave in this way, bad girls behave in that way. All of that is just basic bullshit. And mm-hmm. we're constantly lying to ourselves over and over and over for some particular reason. And really, I think the ultimate is to grow and mature and to confront every lie, deal with it, burst the bubble of it, and move forward. And if we can keep doing that and knowing too that each one of these nasty thought forms, these complaints or these criticisms, and they're just a bunch of hot air, and you're just putting a pin in each one as it comes through, you know, that voice gets less and less and less. And what happens when we don't lie to ourselves? What, you know, we're in that flow of abundance. We're in the flow of prosperity. We're on a higher frequency. We're moving at the speed of light. We're moving with the frequencies of the planets and the frequency of the moon and the wind and the air and the water. You know, we're tied in more into the elements. And this is ascension. This is us growing up and glowing up. And it's fucking amazing. Like, I'm so into it. I want more of that.
Listen, I just, Sita just messaged me earlier today. Our friend Sita's in India right now. And Tesitu Rinpoche came out of retreat he'd been in retreat for like a month. And she sent me a little bit of the transmission. And it was all what you just said. He was like, everything is perfect. And if it's not, you're in an altered state. And that, I get chills thinking of it. It's like, you know, from the high master of Tibetan Buddhism to, I can hear my mother's voice. I've said this before, if I personified the weird, mean girl voices in my head, and if that was you saying these things to me, I'd be like, fuck you, Joanna, get out of, like, yeah. What the fuck? Get out of here. Like, that would be my reaction.
Yeah.
But I hear my mom, like when I was little, I'd come home and I'd be like, you know, Karen said this. My mom would be like, what? Says in a very, you know, we're from Boston. Or like, you tell them to buzz off. So you have your choice, everyone. You, Tesitu Rinpoche, you are in an altered state. Or you tell them to buzz off, you know, take your pick, or whatever benevolent, kind, wise, wiser than, gentle fairy godmother or soccer coach, whoever's voice is going to help you remember your voice that knows the truth that you just spoke just now, Joanna, or just replay Joanna's voice. Remember the truth of who we are.
I think we should end there. This is a perfect pin in this. And we'll keep talking during this eclipse void season and barreling forward, but there's a lot to unpack. We get to live every moment. It's beautiful. Thank you.
So our we have to remember to say this more, but everyone, please, if you like this, we would love a good review. And referrals, please spread the word, help us. If you like this, if you don't, just, you know, delete. But if this is fun for you and enjoyable and let us know. I love hearing back from people, just responding to things we've said. And you know, yeah, I mean, topics too, things that are on people's minds, things that are coming up for you during this eclipse season or ever, you know, as you can see, we have no shortage of things we can talk about. So we're doing this for ourselves and you.
The collective evolution. I love it. Yeah. Keep the conversation going. More to come along these lines. Feeling inspired. Thank you, Dal. All right. Well, we'll see you very soon.